Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. And we are working around here like one-armed paper hangers, maybe even working like one-legged putters. That's how much we've been working lately. Last week, we brought you two podcasts, not one, two, and we're back at it again.
And today we're bringing you one long sentence.
That's right. That was a long sentence.
You're just going to keep talking for a full straight podcast.
Right. Until I run out of breath, basically. But there's a very important topic.
You sound weird right now. Are you not talking into your mic? Like, what's going on? Like, just
what am I not doing?
I wanted to just throw a wrench in this episode. I don't know.
At least your lighting is good this week.
Is it?
Yeah. You look.
It's true.
You look old.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. I just took a shower after playing golf today, so I feel refreshed.
Now we have Yeti. Yeti's sick, so he's like I got two Greg Codys now. Every time Yeti laughs, he coughs now. It's like this is going to be a rough one, I think.
I am doing my best Greg Cody imitation today. Oh, and now.
And we don't even hear you.
Hang on. I muted myself to cough for a second. Okay. All right. Here we go. Listen. I have to bring something up that's very serious in my life right now, and it's the controversial subject of friends who are lip kissers. And I have several of them in my life. Yeah, it's
several.
I could name. I'm not going to name names.
No, I need names.
No, you know they know who they are,
but we don't.
They're all females.
They're all females. Obviously, it'd be weird if you and Tom Jordan kissed on the lips every time you hung out.
Okay, well, you know he's welcome to make the first move. See how I respond. I'm open to anything, you know me. But apparently, we visited friends in Fort Myers Beach the other day. I'll say it. Her name is Molly. She's a lip kisser. And, we lip kiss and then a hug. It's a short lip kiss, obviously. Just a peck on the lips.
Does mom know that you guys lip kiss?
Yeah, she's there.
Does she lip kiss mom or Erlene?
Right.
I don't think so.
That I don't think so. Is odd.
Yeah.
See, I was going to say other peer, because like a bunch of mom's friends are big. When I go in for the hug on them, I get this like, it's like a cheek kiss, but a lot of times it's like really close to the mouth. Like Gigi, Mary Benson, and we're just going to name names, are in those categories. Like they, every time I go in, so that's what I thought you were going to say. But I guess you're just lip kissing everybody. What if you're the lip kisser? You're putting this all on them individually. There's one common thread here in all this lip kissing.
That's great.
I don't go straight forward for the lip. I am perfectly fine with a hug.
It seems like your door is wide open waiting for it.
No, I'm the kind of guy who goes in like this for a hug with the cheek turned. I turn the other cheek. Just like in the Bible.
I want to call mom right now. I want to know what she thinks of all this lip kissing.
You should, actually. She's, I think she's on her way to a happy hour. So you may catch her with a party hat on. But why don't you give her a call? That would be interesting to hear because she and I have never really discussed this. But
yeah, while he does that, see, Jane's family, her mom, her grandma was straight from England. And so they are all lip kissers. Like it's just a thing, you know. Guys, you know, will kiss other dudes on the lips. The women will kiss other ways. It's just a quick kiss on the lips. It's nothing, you know, romantic or anything like that. It's just their greeting. It's a standard greeting. So my mother-in-law will occasionally kiss on the cheek. She's never kissed me on the lips, but occasionally on the cheek. But one sister-in-law does most of the time as well.
Right.
But the rest of my sister-in-laws are just huggers.
I mean, Brady famously kissed his like 12-year-old kid on the lips. So it seems to be something that great people do. So you're in good company at least.
Right. Yeah. By the way, it's less sexual when you say kiss on the lips. If you say kiss on the mouth, even though you mean the same thing, it implies more. It implies something that's not there.
I don't know if that's true.
Now, when my mother was alive, God rest her soul, she would be a lip kisser. Is that weird for a mother to kiss her son on the lips, her grown son?
Not at all. We didn't do it in our family. We weren't kissers at all in our family. But I don't think it's not weird at all.
Some people are judgers about that. I'm glad that you're not a judger about that, because my daughter's 4 years old, and I give my daughter a kiss. Like, she gives me a kiss like before school and stuff. Sure. Like, and obviously I assume that will stop. I'm not like, I don't plan to like give her a kiss goodbye when she's 16 years old. But it's just, I don't think, however people want to do it, like, it's, there are people out there that judge people for kissing their kids on the lips. And it's like, hey, you, shut up.
No, we kiss our kids. My son won't, yeah. You know, he is not about it at all. He doesn't right. even like my wife giving him a kiss on the forehead or anything anymore.
Right.
But like, he turns it into a game, and he actually likes it with her. But like, I don't try with him because he's yeah. made it very clear. So I'm not going to force that. Forced affection is a bad thing. But my daughter will let me kiss her on the cheek, but she won't kiss me back. She yeah. they've entered a phase where they won't tell me they love me either. I always tell them. I've been wow. very adamant. But like,
how old are they?
My daughter's 11. My son is 8. And for the last couple of years, okay. well, 2 years ago, I went through a phase where my son like told my wife, "I just woke up and I don't like dad anymore." And it was so sad because he's my best friend.
I'm sure
that,
like, I'm sure as they age, though, like they just go through phases.
He's
though.
Gone.
Like,
yeah, sure. he's out of that. He's like, I really like dad, but he feels like his love is dedicated to my wife. Like that, yeah. that like that's, he feels like he's betraying her. I think my daughter will tell me, you know, I do, but I'm not going to say it. Like, she's phased out of being like, she's uncomfortable saying it now, but she will tell me, she's like, yeah. you know, I do, but I just don't want to say it. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. I'm never not going to say it to you. You know, were the Cody's kissers at all?
Not really. Like, I kiss my mom on like the cheek. Like I give my mom kisses goodbye. Like, when I give her a hug, but it's always like on the cheek.
Yeah.
And I don't think, me and my dad have not kissed since I was young. I don't yeah. think. We're not big, like, we hug. We're big huggers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. My family was not even a hugger. We were not a demonstrative family at all. And then when my father and I.
Uncle Dick and my dad do kiss on the lips every time they see each other. That is a.
No, but we do hug. Okay. We hug, and we didn't always hug. Uncle Dick and I did not start hugging goodbye and hello until after my father died.
Really? Which is,
yeah.
Was the phrase "I love you" a big thing in your household?
No. Nope.
Like, even with your kids?
It is in my household now, but it wasn't growing up. My parents were not real demonstrative.
I think that was a different time. I think that's very common, though, like in that time. I mean, not everybody, but like, I think it was more common in that time for people to be not as open with that stuff. Maybe right. I'm wrong.
I agree. It wasn't something even we said growing up until Columbine.
Wow.
And not to get too dark, but that it really shook me hearing some people say that they, you know, they knew they loved their loved ones who went to school that day and didn't come back, but they right. regretted not saying it that morning. And I was like,
yeah,
that's not gonna be me. And wow. So I brought that home, and ever since, like, it's a big thing for me to be expressive with my love for anyone in my family.
So. Look at us. Look how deep we're getting.
I know.
This is nice. I'm enjoying this conversation. I think I'm just going to call, instead of bringing her on Zoom, I'm just going to do like the way we do this around here. I'm just going to yeah. call her on speaker on my phone.
No, you should.
And maybe if she's not a mouth kisser, maybe she'll get pissed off at Molly and become a mouth kisser this happy hour.
That's, I'm actually, ooh, I'm wondering if I should do this. What if Mom is not happy with this?
She knows.
You're confident in this?
Yeah. Dad? She knows Molly's a mouth kisser.
Okay.
A lip kisser. It only came up because after we left, Molly told Mom that
dummy up.
Okay. Dummy up. Great phrase. I invented that phrase. No, I did.
Remember that she can't hear you.
She might be hammered. Although it'd be early. I think she just got
ever
the
since
happy.
Ever since Gracelyn has become a nightmare, Mom is less easy to reach for me.
Yeah. Imagine
I just
that. Want that.
I just like, Mom needs to be, you know what? I'm going to do this right here publicly. Mom, ever since, and I get it, Gracelyn is a lot. And I'm sure Dad doesn't help a lot. And I'm sure it all becomes on Mom when you guys watch her. But Mom has, she's less easy to reach for me ever since Gracelyn became a handful.
I'm going to tell you something, the truth here, Christopher.
Here we go.
And this is between you and I.
Well, Dad, you're saying it on the podcast.
Mom, well, she won't listen. Mom complains to me, I would say pretty frequently, in her stock sentences, the only time I hear from the kids is when they want something. Okay. Your mother and Michael may be worse about it than you. I'm not parsing blame. I'm not even giving blame. I'm just telling you that your mom has that feeling that, you know, if you need something financially, or if you need a babysitter, then she hears from you. But
financially, you're talking about Michael there.
Whatever. But the point is, I don't think your mother thinks that she gets a call out of the blue from her kids enough where they go, "Hey, mom, how you doing? Everything good? How's it going?"
That's fair.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I did talk to her the other day about something that I just called her to check in on, but that's fine. I do. Overall, I'm going to take the note. I'm not going to say she's wrong, but you know, it's just, I love that we're doing this on air, by the way. Now let's call her. She didn't answer. Okay. That's right. She probably thinks she's like, we can't, I'm not babysitting tonight. I'm not answering.
Well, it wouldn't be for tonight, but she'd be worried it was for tomorrow night, probably, which it may be, quite frankly.
What?
Christopher, I want to get to this golf outing on the Levitt Chart show in a minute. Yeah, because it was a lot of fun. It was a barrel of laughs. But first, you told me something on the way that really made my ears perk up. And I want you to retell the story. It involves you and bowling and a major beef that you had at the Lanes last night.
Yeah, meef. It's the first time in, I think, a year and a half I've been weekly bowling. And last night was the first time where things got a little heated. Nothing got ever close to physical, but there was, you know, the way bowling works is you play against a team and you play three games in a night. And in between games, you know, a couple guys on my team may have stepped outside to, you know, smoke
some dope, like, badmouth their country.
No. It wasn't. Well, whatever. Regardless, we're not gonna. Right. It was literally 5 or 6 minutes. Every time they do this, by the way, every week, and this team that we were playing with they were in a hurry, I guess, and they started complaining. And next thing you know, there's some words being exchanged. And then all of a sudden, the bowling master lady has to come over and, like, you know, cool head, make sure everyone...
The matey.
You know, and calm down everybody. And it got a little heated. And what it turned into was us, because they beat us the first game. And it was four older dudes. And they were good. They had lower handicaps than us. So we were getting a lot more pins. But we decided, hey, we want this game. And we kick their ass the next two games. Like, we were, it's the most fired up I've been playing a sport in years. Cause like,
wow.
Because generally I like these weeknight softball games, bowling, I'm going to have fun and socialize. Like, I'm competitive, but I'm not like, holy shit, if we don't beat this team. And the blood got flowing. The blood was flowing last night with all of us. Like, we were standing up, high-fiving, like really, like, chest bumping. Like, it was like the most competitive that I felt.
Didn't you tell me that you heaved a bowling ball into the bread basket of one of those men?
No, I did not throw a bowling ball.
Okay, I thought bowling balls were flying like missiles.
Alex Benson almost did, but he was not in the wrong, though. These guys were dicks, and we whooped their ass the final two games.
I'm gonna be the contrarian here, because I'm putting myself in the shoes, the bowling shoes, of these other four gentlemen. And by the way, are bowling shoes still red and black with the white stripe in between? Or
they're green too sometimes. God,
yeah, bring back the red and black.
I know what you're about to say. You're about to say that you kind of see what they're saying, and, like, you know, 5 minutes is too long. Blah blah blah. Yeah, that, you would have fit right in on this team last night. Like you look exactly like they looked. Like,
damn right I do.
You would have been right there, like, God damn it, these damn whippersnappers. And it's like, why are you in such a hurry? You're out on a Thursday night with your friends. Right. Like, sit there and enjoy their company for 5 minutes. It wasn't 15 minutes. It was like 5 minutes. There's always a little break in between the games. Like,
in the original telling of the story, it was 8 minutes, by the way. And so that's too long between games. Here's the other team. They're pumped up. They just won the first game. They just won the first game. They got momentum.
Gamesmanship. It's called gamesmanship.
They got momentum on their side.
And, you know,
here are the young whippersnappers over here.
We called a timeout. We were like, you know what? We're calling a timeout.
You know, there's no timeouts in bowling.
It's called gamesmanship.
Are there timeouts in bowling?
No, I'm saying we called a timeout, like, metaphorically with our long break. Like, we were trying to throw, like, we were doing a thing.
Okay. I officially throw a flag at your team and side with the other guys for being upset with you.
But how about the guts, though, of us to, like, after this altercation happens, both sides are heated, and who responds? the little punks that were outside smoking dope. The guys, like, you guys are sitting in here all lame. And you know what? We decided, you know what? Bleep you. If you're going to be dicks, we're going to whoop your ass. And we did. And it was awesome. We were high-fiving and chest bumping. And we were, like, drinking the whole time. And they're just sitting there all bored. Like, these guys were just so mean. Like, they were just sitting there. It's like, loosen up a little bit. Like, it was, this was not on us. Like, I know, like, a lot of people are hearing this is like, sounds like you guys were just a bunch of drunk idiots. It's like, no, we were just having fun and trying to enjoy our night. And they were just like, we're here to have no fun and seriously competitively bowl. That's the only reason we're here. It's like, sorry.
Okay. brag to people about your high game because it impressed me. I had no idea you were that good.
The last game, I bowled a 215 scratch. So with my handicap, that was like 268. Almost nice.
I feel like I used to be a better bowler than you.
I know, but I've been bowling every week for a year. I'm good.
Okay, we're going to resurrect
I literally, in that game, I literally did not have anything open. Like, it was the first time I've ever done that. Where, like, I the whole way through, there was not one open frame. Like, I didn't obviously get all strikes, but I cleaned up everything.
On next week's episode, I'm going to introduce a game plan for the Cody Olympics, where we're going to have, like, a head-to-head competition in 10 or 12 Olympic type events.
We're gonna have to handicap you in like a lot of things. Like, what are you, Dad? I'm gonna, Dad, this is gonna be bad for you. We should do this because I literally think I'll win 12-0. Like, I don't think you can beat me in anything anymore.
I can make more free throws than you.
Oh, no, you can't.
Oh, come on,
Dad. This is good. I like this bit. Write this down, Yeti. Let's do this.
We're gonna do that next week. Speaking of bits. I want to give Girdle one more try. I know you guys.
No.
Yeah, you guys hate me for this.
Bad idea.
Okay. Here, look.
Did you play Wordle?
I played Wordle.
Did you play Wordle?
Yeah, I played Wordle three times since then, and gotten it correct two out of three. Quite frankly, and I've learned a couple of things from last week. Number one, I had the game all wrong.
Why wouldn't you have researched this before? I want to have a minute conversation on the lack of prep that, like, I get it. It's funny, Girdle. But, like, that's all the thought you put into it.
Yeah. And not only that, I misspelled Girdle. It should be spelled G-E-R-D, and I spelled it G-I, like the girdle
gird that your loins. Wears. Or wearing a girdle. But, yeah, G-E-R-D to play on your whole GERD condition that you have claimed to have.
So last week I said it was a six-letter word that you had five chances to get. It should be a five-letter word that you have six chances to get.
Okay.
And I was under the impression that you only gave one letter at a time, like that other game there. Wheel of
Fortune.
But you do give a whole word at a time, it turns out.
Yes.
So,
like I said. And I know I was wrong too, because I thought it was six letters, but I had the rules of the game nailed.
Okay, this time we have it correct. So I want you to both play this game. And I have two words in front of me, and I want you both to try to guess.
So we're just playing Wordle. We've there's nothing different about this to make this Wordle.
We're playing Wordle.
This is
right
Wordle.
Now.
Oh, so we're not playing Girdle.
We're playing Girdle.
I'm confused.
No, it's Girdle. It's Greg Cody's Wordle. Girdle.
You seem disheveled all of a sudden. What happened?
No, I got my paperwork here. This is exciting.
Thank you for holding up the paper when you said that.
Okay, say a five-letter word. Say a five-letter word, and we'll get underway.
I wish I could remember these words. Witty told me there's words that are the smartest to guess first, based off of they have a lot of.
Yeah, it's typical. Witty would say that.
All right, whose turn? This is Chris's word.
Yeah, Christopher, go ahead. Give me a five-letter word.
I'm going to give you a five-letter word right now, and it is glove.
G-L-O-V-E. Okay, you have two letters correctly, but neither in the right order.
All right, which letters?
You have the L and the O.
Okay. What was the word I picked?
Glove.
Glove.
Glove. Glove. Yeti, help me out here. What do we got? All right, so we have an L and O.
Neither in the correct location.
Right.
And we've already used...
And we can edit this to cut out most of the dead air.
G-L...
This may not be a great game for a podcast.
No, we tried telling you this last week.
God, like, all right, why is this fun? Like,
let's just tough through this one word, and then we'll.
Okay, thank you. Oh no, Dad, we were gonna do both. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, a word with an L and O in it that five doesn't letters. Have a G, a V, or an E.
You're on your second word of five. Well, you guys are surprisingly bad at this game.
Let's just do, all right, Lotto.
L-O-T-T-O?
Yeah, I know that there's two O's, whatever. Just
okay.
It's so hard to do when you're not looking.
Okay, you already had the L and the O. There's no T's, and there's a second O.
Are they in the right spot this time?
There are two O's?
There are two O's.
Okay, there's two O's. Lobos.
Lobos is correct.
Ah, there he goes. Think we're ending our misery. Why?
I am such an idiot for not knowing as soon as we got L and O. Like, I am a moron. I guarantee you there's so many people listening to this podcast right now that were shouting, Lobos! I can't believe Yeti and I missed that. Like, we usually speak either. Greg Cody. Like, that's on Yeti and I, honestly, for not for knowing real. Lobos as soon as we heard L and O.
I was so sure that you guys were going to guess Lobos right out the gate. That's
you're so
the only
stupid.
Reason
this is the bit that it's a word that you would say. Okay. The next one is mints. That's the next one.
No, it should be, but it isn't. Okay. I would like to do one more word. Do you mind?
Oh, now you're feeling confident with it all of a sudden?
Yeah, I feel great. All okay. Right. Guess another five letter word that isn't Lobos.
White.
White, you have one correct letter. It is not in the right order.
What letter? Is that letter?
It's E.
Okay.
I'm going to go, I'm just going to go see if you're playing extra tricky with us with last week's word and just go Nelly.
That is incorrect.
That'd be six. Isn't that six?
Yeah, that's Nelly. Is,
oh yeah, last week was a six letter thing.
What is, what was the first word count. I said? What was the first word I said?
White.
White.
You guys can't think of a single.
No, I'm leaving all this in just so you can sit in the pain of how terrible this is.
No, I want you to edit out the dead air. You guys gotta say a word and then mean it.
Dad, we're trying to do the strategic. The whole point of this game we is can't thinking. See. Like we can't. We have no visuals on this. Like I'm trying to think, Dad. I'm trying to think of a word with E in it that doesn't have W H. I or T in it. Like I'm trying to think of like it's glove.
G L O V E. Okay. No G, no L, no O, no V. That was a total wrong one on you.
Okay. Well, now
you still
I know
had
that,
the E.
Okay. None of those letters are in there. Now I have even more letters that I need to figure out a word that doesn't like this is going to take this as you go further on. This takes longer to think of.
You want me to give you a hint, a free letter?
Yes.
P is in Paul. And there are two of them.
So stupid.
What do you mean? I just gave you a hint. Fantastic.
Apple.
A-P-P-L-E. You have the two P's and the A and the E.
So it's everything except the L?
Are any of them in the correct location?
Are any of them in the correct location?
The one of the P's is the P in the middle,
which is the third or fourth
P in
letter.
Is in the right is in the third letter P is in the right order.
If you could punch someone through Zoom right now, man, would I do it?
So in other words, you're only missing one letter.
Are you typing this out, Yeti?
I am.
I'm lost. I'm trying to think where we're at. So we know that there's a P, the third letter is a P, and we know that all the letters are A, P, P, E.
Correct.
Okay. It must start with a P. Where else would a P be in the word if it's not
paper?
Correct.
Paper
is the right word. Yes. And just to prove I'm being correct.
I was like, where else would paper. A P be? Where else could a P be in that word other than the fourth letter?
Yeah. With Chris with Chris saying it was the first letter. That was
that's right.
That one did it.
Now how much fun was that?
Not at all. Zero. Let's retire that game and go to a commercial break.
Seriously. Okay. Seriously.
Yeah, we can do I got it out of my system.
During the
I
commercial
wanted to
break,
do it again.
During the commercial break, I'm going to drive over to your house and I'm going to just pour chocolate milk on you.
Okay. Bring it because I don't have any chocolate milk in the house.
Mm-hmm.
with Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Cody keeps coughing when he speaks, and that has us all concerned. His health outlook is bleak, hacking up a lung when Greg Cody talks. His constant choking and wheezing. Back in my day, we'd send those people away. It won't be long, I fear that he will stop breathing. And we all know, but listen and subscribe to the Greg Cody Show. You'll never know when Greg Cody's hacks, cough, and breath will be leaving. Back in my day, there'd be a hospital stay.
That's it. Yeah, that's good. That was good.
That was surprisingly good. And say who that was.
Thank you to Mayor Matt, the mayor of Cartersville, Georgia, Matt Santini. Thank you for sending that in. And I will tell you that the thing that put that one over the edge for me to say, okay, we need to hear this, is when he threw in the line so effortlessly, the subscribe and listen to the Greg Cody Show.
Oh, like, yeah.
He knows his audience. He knows his audience.
That was very impressive. Now, let me get this straight. This is the actual mayor of an actual city.
Yeah, it's the town. It's the city. The town where
Cartersville, right?
Where Trevor Lawrence grew up and played football. The mayor actually called every one of his high school football games.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm just picturing a situation where his mayoral duties are derelict because he's too busy writing a song. Is that a possibility? You know, I picture the volunteer fire department is on strike, but he can't get to it because, you know, he's in the studio singing a song about me.
Well, lucky for the town, it's kind of a sleepy town. So lucky for them, he has a little bit of time.
Somebody busts into the town hall and they're like, you can't go in there. He's in a meeting. And they bust in anyways. And he's like, Greg Cody's calling.
There's a cat stuck in a tree. Back in my day.
That's right. Crime is spiking. The flames are rising in Carterville, but the mayor is locked in his office composing a song about me. Oh, it's great. Mayor Matt, honestly, thank you. That was quite an honor.
You can't go in there. He's in a meeting. You never know.
That was truly great. That was wonderful. By the way, we encourage those kind of things. If anybody wants to send in any music like that, please do, because we love music. And speaking of music.
And if you want Yeti to produce it, just reach out to him.
Shut up. Oh, yeah. I will not.
Yeah, he's got plenty of free time.
We all have Yeti. A price. We all have a price. Let's say that.
Speaking of music.
The mayor brought me a cake to my house. So
I run across on the internet a list of the top 50 funeral songs. And I wish I could.
What were you Googling?
It's one of these things where you click on something and then all of a sudden it encourages you to fall down a rabbit hole, which I do. And so the 50 most popular funeral songs, I would have thought, I'm not going to read the whole list, obviously. I'm just going to go through it and read a few songs that interest me, and then I'll tell you what's number one. But number 50, I thought was going to be way, way high, and it's My Way by Sinatra. That was barely made the list. Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler. Wonderful World, What a Wonderful World. Tears in Heaven, one of the most awful songs in history. My favorite song, which Yeti mocked on the air, Dance With My Father's, that my father, that made the list. Knocking on Heaven's Door. That's going to make it just because the word heaven is in it. You know what I mean? Right. Always On My Mind. Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Judy Garland. Stairway to Heaven, again, only because the word heaven is in it.
Is Happy by Pharrell Williams in there?
I think it might have been, actually. I didn't write down all 50.
I was doing that as a joke.
No, I think it was, actually. You know, because nowadays, nowadays they're not sad funerals. They're celebrations of life.
You know, you should do a back in my day on that. You know, back in my day, death was bad.
That's not a bad idea. I'm going to blatantly rip off that idea for my next back in my day. So look forward to that.
What about the song, Oh Happy Day? that probably is on there too.
No, I don't remember seeing that one. Sinead O'Connor,
Don't Worry,
compares to you.
Be that happy. Was on it.
But guess what was number one?
I got one.
Go ahead.
Only the good die young.
You know, that's a good song for that list. And did not make it. The number one song was the great Leonard Cohen song, Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
The version by Jeff Buckley made it. I've heard so many versions of that song. My favorite is Katie Lang did a great, great version of that song.
I despise that song.
Okay, why, wow. Yeti? You're very judgmental about songs.
I think it's just because it's overdone so much. Like, it's used in so... And nobody pays attention to the actual words. There is nothing religious in that. You know, it talks about David. Seeing Bathsheba. I think someone bathing on the roof, sending her husband off to war to the front lines to get killed, so he can take her as his own lady. Things like that. Like it's a beautiful melody, and it really can resonate, but it's so overdone. And that's where it gets to me. It, like, as a song in general, not bad, but it's just too overdone.
Right. I agree with that. And it's also, as you mentioned, it's a secular song. It's not a religious song. And
it doesn't have to be a religious song at a funeral by any means.
It's a secular song.
More like a succular.
Oh, so I was like, baby.
But yeah, I think people only hear the Hallelujah and really, oh, that's a pretty song.
Exactly.
And they think they can just apply this. I think they misinterpret.
Yeah.
And the intent right. for it.
No, I agree. A lot of people think it's like a Christmas carol almost, but it's actually a lament about love lost, which I guess would make it appropriate for a funeral. I don't know. But anyway, Christopher, I don't imagine that you have given a moment's thought to what song would be played at your funeral. If one was to imagine you choreographing your own funeral.
I don't know. Let's go to Yeti first. I mean, I have to think about this.
I have, and I actually have a story about my dad's passing that you could trample all over if you wanted to.
Okay.
But no, when I was in my 20s, I became kind of weirdly obsessed with my death, and it was funny. Like, not like I was looking forward to it, but like this is when I still had a band, and I thought maybe we'd do some stuff, and I was like, I want there to be this big concert after my funeral, you know? And like at the graveside, and it was just really dumb, way out of the box thinking, but it was fun to kind of walk down that path. And like, but it was cheesy as hell. But like, I don't remember all the songs I would have wanted played except for two. I definitely wanted George Harrison's All Things Must Pass. I love the message in that song, it's beautiful. And then Fish has a song called Dirt. And it says, shout your name into the wind, and when you ever think of me, kneel down and kiss the earth. That's really narcissistic, though. I wouldn't have that today. But in the moment, that really resonated with me. It's a beautiful song.
Right.
But my dad, actually, and on his tombstone, this was that my mom knocked this out of the park. One of my dad's favorite songs was, and my dad was not into pop culture at all. He could only tell you a couple of popular songs. He didn't know anything about the Beatles, really. He was just happy that I liked them instead of Nirvana. Or when my obsession for Nirvana shifted to my obsession for the Beatles, he was just happy for that because they were less noisy. But he liked contemporary like church artists. That was kind of his thing. But Chartists. That's right. Speaking of Chartists, the big game, 71 on Billboard. Excellent work. Wow. Keep listening to it. Let's bump those numbers up. But he loved Three Dog Night's Joy to the World. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Dun-dun-dun. And so that actually on his tombstone, when mom had that made up, she had this, the treble clef for the music notes and has that melody on his tombstone. It was nice. Awesome. She didn't tell me what it was either. She sent me the picture, and I went over to the piano and hammered out. I'm like, that's perfect. That is like the greatest accomplishment she's ever done was picking the...
Wow.
Forget raising seven kids, you know. We sang that at his bedside right before we pulled the plug. We were singing, you know, Joy to the World, All the Boys and Girls, yeah. Joy to the Fishes in the Deep Blue Sea. And, you know, Dad's favorite drink was root beer. His favorite food was fried chicken. So I kind of threw in some of those words as we were, I replaced some of the words.
Yeah.
And he loved Elvis's I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. So while we have a concert at his funeral or anything, while we were at his bedside, most of the people in the family are musical. And so we were all singing, you know, Elvis's I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And even he didn't write it, but, you know, his performance of that and Joy to the World. By Three Dog Night. It was really, really beautiful. It was an awesome way to send him off, and it was cool. So that's if we did that at my dad's funeral, that's what we would have done.
Cool.
When my dad's, you know, someday if he's ever in this spot, like if I have to be at his bedside, I'll just have a thing of salt.
Just a salt shaker, pouring it out, pour it all over me.
Just to be like, Dad, this is what happened here. No, I think my song would be Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way.
You are my fire, the one desire.
And then it would close with NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. That's it.
Okay. My funeral song would be the one we just heard from Mayor Matt.
We didn't ask you, by the way. Oh, that song by Mayor Matt, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's true. But,
why, Chris? Is it too close?
Yeah, it's. Tell me though. I'm taking notes.
No, you got time to get me. I want a gold plated salt shaker. If you're going to do that, you got to do it right.
What's the salt joke? Is that something you're able to share?
It's just I have always said that, you know, I always make fun. My dad puts salt on everything, and that the joke that I have with him is that I like when I give his eulogy, I have to say something about salt. It won't be a proper Greg Cody goodbye unless, like, I might like open the casket up, put a salt shaker in there. Even though he wants to be cremated. But anyways.
Yeah, we actually did that with my dad. Our family swimming hole up in North Florida. We got some sand and water in a little thing. Put that in with him. That was pretty cool.
I will salt your ashes. Like once you're in the urn.
Yeah,
like I picture the urn will be like above a fireplace in our dining room, like in Meet the Fockers.
Yeah,
and I will then want every Christmas pour a little salt into the urn.
Yeah,
Greg, were you able to speak at your parents' funeral, Greg?
They didn't really have funerals.
Yeah, neither one of them had a funeral.
By the time they died, they didn't have a lot of like friends. It was really just us.
Yeah, they both died so old that they had outlived everybody, and you know, that kind of thing.
Do you shake your fist and say, "I won, all you bastards! I outlived every like."
Yeah, right.
Like, I wonder how that'll go. I doubt I'll do that with any of my friends, but who knows? I'd like to.
Yeah.
I'd like to outlive most of my friends. And
all right, Dad, let's play this golf video so we can get the hell out of here.
We've taken a dark turn with this. I do want to say my song that I always think of as a funeral song for me. Only because we're recording this on Friday, which happens to be Elton John's 75th birthday. And he's one of my favorites. And he has an obscure song that was never anywhere close to a hit called Curtains. And I'd like that song to be played.
I thought you wanted Lonely Cruise by what was it?
Oh, Lonely Cruise by Jimmy Buffett. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that can be like the walk-up music.
If you had to choose, would you prefer a concert or a Greg Cody roast? I mean, the roast is going to happen no matter what. I mean,
a coast.
You know, I'll leave that to my surviving loved ones. I don't want to get involved in
kinfolk
in that much choreography. But on a happier note, we had a boffo time on the golf course today. And Christopher, I want you to describe why the hell we were there. It had something to do with a bottle of booze. I couldn't quite keep it straight.
Well, it had to do with Max Homa, the PGA Tour golfer who has won three times on the tour. He, along with our show, partnered with Elijah Craig, which is a bourbon brand, a delicious one. And
very good.
We went out and we filmed our golf round, and it was seven of us from the Levitard show playing a scramble. So it's, if you know anything about golf and scrambles, that's, it's not hard to score well when you have seven people taking every shot. So even though we had some people out there that weren't that good, but we played well, and we, you know, we beat Homa's ass because Homa shot two over in the round, whatever round they were tracking for this competition. So that was our score to beat, two over, and we went three under.
Damn right, we did.
Pretty easy when you have a damn good golfer like myself, and Stugatz is also good, and my dad had some good shots. Like, it's going to be hard to not break even. So
what about Smitty? She was online bragging that y'all were using a lot of her drives.
Oh no, Smitty. Well, yeah, she played from the women's tees and she was crushing them. So like a few times, we definitely played her drive. You could tell Smitty had played before. Like everybody else, the Billies, the Roys, the Tonys, they're very raw. Like you could tell that these guys have not played full rounds before. Like you look at Jess play and you're like, okay, she's definitely played golf before.
Yeah,
Billy is sneaky good. I think if Billy really worked at it, Billy's got a nice smooth stroke. I want to take some of the smoothness from Billy's stroke and put it over to Roy because Roy swings very hard.
Oh my God.
He almost killed our camera guy like three times because the angles that Roy can create where balls are like shooting like in like at a whatever the angle is, like it's supposed to be going out towards the fairway and it's going towards the golf carts over here.
Oh, yeah. I'm a slice
our
factory.
But that's the slice is different. A slice is hitting it out into the general direction of the fairway and then it just slices to the right. That's a normal thing. Oh. I'm talking about Roy hitting it like at like a 45 degree angle from where he's aiming, like it just like where we're standing. It's just like people aren't safe. You're not safe around Roy unless you're like directly behind him.
Yeah. Correct.
Because he just is swinging so rapid and so hard that his clubs fly everywhere. So he can like drill a ball. Like he'll hit the best drive of his life, but just the complete opposite direction of where he was aiming.
Right. His swing is so fast. It's violently fast.
You hear every single time Roy swings and it's supposed to be more like nice. And it's supposed to be like fluid.
Like a whoosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fun to watch.
I hope we can hear some of that on the audio,
but we did after the round, my dad did that thing where we were all enjoying a lunch and he just walked around kind of like he did at High Line where he just shoved at Mike and someone, hey, you were there today. Talk about it. He did that thing. So we have that. Let's play that for the folks.
All right.
Four!
The Greg Cody Show had a golf outing today up at Parkland Country Club hosted by Stugatz. It was a Levitard Show crowd. And we're so excited because Greg Cody and I and Chris Cody both had a birdie. Roy Bellamy had a birdie. That's why his new nickname is Roy Birdamy. And we're now about to interview people who were there. And I'm not being awkward. Christopher, let's start with you. What do you have to say? You had a birdie. How's that make you feel?
What are we doing right now?
It's part of the show. We're doing a thing. What do you got?
What show? Yeah, I don't know. You just have a phone in my phone.
It's already been introduced off air, the Greg Cody Show podcast with Greg Cody.
You did it off air?
Yeah. Tell me about your goddamn birdie.
It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. I'm in this show a lot, so you should probably go around to other people.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
Billy, what do you have to say for yourself?
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
It's going well. How you doing?
Thank you for having me on the show, by the way.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
The honor is mine.
I think it's my second time on.
I feel like you were the underrated star of today's game. People were saying that your ball striking was unbelievably solid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Appreciate the people saying that.
I think if Billy worked on his game, he could be a good golfer.
An average golfer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I strive for average.
Yeah. Jess, how would you analyze your performance today?
I had a few good drives. My medium range game was atrocious, but that's where I've always known I need the most work.
Right.
Short game, not bad. Not amazing, but you know, overall, I give myself like a B+ for today. Better than I thought I'd be. To be honest, I haven't played in a while, so.
I heard you trash talking and saying that you were not even in the bottom five of worst golfers.
I think that's fair.
Wow.
From this crew.
Rank everyone.
I would rank probably Chris, Stugatz, Greg. And then it's really just a tie for the bottom.
I would say
I'm probably next, then Billy, and then Roy. And then Tony, and then Lewis.
Okay.
Them's fighting words. Them's fighting words.
I don't know. Was I wrong? No, someone no, someone no. argue with me. No, I could do my top four.
Yep.
All right, bye. Bye, Greg.
Stugatz is the...
Hello, Greg.
Do your top five Elijah.
He's the patriarch of this event.
I don't know more than one Elijah.
No, Elijah Wood.
Don't
give
away the good stuff.
Biblical Elijah.
Hello, Greg. Sorry about that.
Hey, no problem.
Greg,
what's
Craig
going on? We're doing a thing here, guys.
I can't name five Elijahs, right. I'll be honest with you.
I can't either.
Thank you for hosting us at Parkland Country Club.
Well, you are welcome. It's always my pleasure to have you and your son and all the entire crew here from the show. We had a great time. I played like shit, but it doesn't matter because we had Chris.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like I found a lazy way to even play golf.
Yeah.
Is to have your it's son beautiful. Drive for me, and then we'll do the rest.
It's perfect.
Yes.
And the Cody's accounted for 66.7% of all birdies today, but I don't want to, like, who's keeping track?
I actually had it higher. I thought it was 84%, I said. All right, for you guys.
That's right.
That putt was a par putt.
Yeah, that was a par putt, Billy.
Yes.
But you know who did have a birdie?
This man.
This guy right here. Roy Birdemy. How's that make you feel, Roy?
I had a terrible day today, but to close the show with that birdie, that one was special.
Yeah,
Roy almost killed.
Why you gotta bring that up? I'm over here trying to have a positive moment.
That's
you're trying
right.
to bring me down.
Dad, come here. Actually, I have a good story for you.
Okay, hang on just a second. I tell you, Roy Bellamy's driving a Mustang, getting a birdie. Life is good.
Oh yeah,
that's for sure.
Roy did something I've never seen done before. He hit a ball in the water on the putting green.
Yeah, he did. He flew the green.
I was standing 2 feet from Roy's right on the driving range, and he hit me.
He really did. Yeah.
With
the ball?
In the leg.
Yeah.
In the leg.
If the tee box was home plate, he hit a lot of balls into the dugout. Yeah. I'll tell you that. But that kind of
that's
thing.
That's it. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
How
hey.
Elijah Craig, Greg, huh?
I tell you what, Elijah Craig Bourbon.
The father.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I had never heard of Elijah Craig Bourbon before today. It's now my favorite bourbon.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
We're gonna cut that part.
No, it's great. I mean, you know, it they could sponsor us. We come cheap. You know, send us a couple of bottles and call it a day. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Let's get back to whatever the hell we're doing. See ya.
Okay, golf was fun. Christopher, give us a quick update on the Cessna Cyclones. When do you play next?
I love like that. It's like as if I'm playing. I'm so in on this right now. I watched. I was watching on Twitch the other day. The match after, because when we were there, they went 6-0. They went 5-1 in. Wait, I'm having a moment right now. They went 4-1 in last week, like their next one. So they're on a fire right now, the Cessna Cyclones.
Wow.
They play this Monday when the podcast drops today. They play at 5 p.m. You can watch it on Twitch. I'm going to be watching it. But Yeti, you experienced High Live for the first time. What are your thoughts as someone who like had no knowledge of it before seeing the Cessna Cyclones?
Yeah, I had never seen it before. I turned it in on the High Live app. There's a High Live Network app, and they broadcast it, and it was really cool. And so I think I really enjoyed it. The broadcasters did a good job of keeping the game not too dumbed down, but like I could understand, explaining kind of what things meant. They were using a lot of terms that you know that I had never heard before. So I did a quick Wikipedia search and found out what.
But you got a gist of it, like after watching, like you kind of figured it out. It's kind of like tennis, right? I feel like tennis is the biggest comp.
So yeah, it has a similar. I like the one-on-one strategy, like man versus man strategy that you have in tennis, or like a pitcher's duel, like a pitcher against a batter. It had you know some of that. You have to use skill and guile. And think, okay, and set up your next shot as you're taking this shot.
And if you look really one way, you can get them running in a direction. There's a lot of like manipulating them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. There are a couple of fakes that Manny did when the broadcasters were great at calling that out. Oh, he did a fake there. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have known that was a fake, but now I can watch for it the next time.
Yeah. And Manu has like that soft throw, like where all of a sudden when they're deep.
Oh, the
like,
fact that you can do you can do a drop shot. I was because I loved. Okay, it reminded me growing up. I used to pretend to play tennis on the sidewall of my house. We had a brick wall, and I would just serve Agassi, Yeti.
Yeti Woods could be a tennis name. Like that sounds like I could picture Yeti. Yeti charges the net. Would you do drop shots on yourself?
I would try.
Would you do drop shots.
Yeah, I would try to. But I never played tennis. Like
you caught yourself sleeping, huh?
And
you
got yeah. And you know, maybe the judge would call interference if a ball would hit a rock a funny way. But anyway, that's. But High Life had it reminded me a lot of that. It put me in that scenario, and it was fun to watch. And that Manny match, That was so intense. The announcer said when he was down 5-2 in one of the sets, they said, don't be surprised if Manny makes a comeback. He is completely able to do this. And then next thing you know, then he scored the next 4 points and then scored the next 6 to round out the match.
Did you hear our like crowd going wild during the match?
I was too busy going wild. Like I was like, yeah! And when he got that last point and I pumped my fist and my son was there watching with me. It was a cool little thing. And my wife was, of course, completely bored by the whole thing. Wow, this looks boring. I'm like, but Chris is the owner.
Damn right.
And
he wins, we all win.
It was a cool experience. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to watch more.
I'm totally blown away by how into this I am. I knew that I was going to kind of, you know, be into it, but I'm all in on this.
Absolutely.
Dad, it's your podcast, Dad. You can talk.
Pod family, thanks again for joining us. Check out the emergency episode we did a few days ago on the Dolphins blockbuster deal for Tyreek Hill. We didn't talk much sports this episode, but that covers us on that huge story. And we will see you all next week.
Blockbuster deal for Tyreek Hill.
Ah, someone's spitballing. That's a good one.